You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
As Rochester transforms, its political class is changing too. NPR's Kat Richard is covering the race for mayor and city council there, and she joins me from Rochester. And Kat, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Carrie.
When you talked to Kathy Werzer earlier this week, I heard you talking about how this slate of candidates for city government looks pretty different than it has in the past. Give me a little bit of color commentary here. How is this different than in big city council and mayoral races there before?
Well, in a lot of ways, actually. First of all, there are so many people running in the primary. 16 candidates for two open city council seats and the open mayor seat, which has been held by Ardell Brady for 15 years. But also more diverse. And when I say diverse, I mean they trend younger than they have in the past. Five women are running, and two of them are running for the mayor's office. And we've never had a female mayor in Rochester. Mm-hmm. One of those women is Muslim, but also legally blind. So she talks a lot about making the city more accessible for people with disabilities. There's a Cambodian refugee running for city council. Across the board, it's just a very different looking field than it has been in the past.
Kat, do you think that's about this sense that Rochester is on the precipice of some real change and, you know, the city council and the mayor's office has to look more like Rochester looks and will look, you know, in the coming decades?
Absolutely. Everyone I spoke with talked about this. They said, you know, even though I have a lot of competition, I'm really happy to see so many people interested in representing the city right now. And I think this is due to a number of things. First of all, we're experiencing a great deal of change in Rochester. The city is transforming physically under the Destination Medical Center project. And a lot of people are saying, is this good? Is this bad? I don't know. You know, I don't like the development. I do like the development.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that we're seeing the city become more diverse. And a lot of the candidates are saying, we want to represent the diversity that exists and the city that will only become more diverse in the future.
You know, I think this is hopeful because there are a lot of people who are cynical about what government can do all the way up. Right, to federal politics, but even down here at the local level, these are people who are saying, no, government really can make change and government is still relevant. I think that's what the number of candidates says in part. Do you?
Oh, I completely, completely agree. And also remember that the city is we have a weak mayor system. So that means that the city council has a lot of power and has a lot of sway over what the city does and what it's going to look like 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. That's really where the big decisions are made.
One of the things that you brought to my attention was this idea of transparency, and you're hearing candidates talking about it. When voters think of transparency, Kat, what do they mean and what do you think the candidates mean? And do the two meet?
Well, I think it means a lot of things to different people. It wasn't too long ago that our city council actually would meet routinely over dinner to discuss city business, which ultimately it was decided by state officials that that was violating some open meeting law. So they stopped doing that. This was just, a year ago that this was happening. And I think you saw a number of newer, younger city council members say, I don't think this is right. We shouldn't be doing this. But this had been going on for years and years. Another simple example, while our city council meetings are broadcast online and are archived, there's a more informal city council meeting that happens every other week that is not broadcast. And there have been efforts to make these really simple changes that I think could actually happen under a new mayor and with some new leadership on the city council.
I mean, this is interesting. Decisions could be being made, or at least the foundations for decisions, at these dinner meetings and at these more casual meetings, right? I mean, there's obviously work getting done there.
Absolutely. And I think the perception for a long time, I don't think people were paying attention. What I have noticed about Rochester in the almost 10 years that I've been living here on and off is that more people are paying attention and starting to ask questions about why are you meeting over dinner? Can you do that? Is that okay? And shouldn't you be making this more transparent? So I think you have a really engaged community in a way that, you know, when I first moved to Rochester in 2009, that was not happening.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to mean that the new mayor and a member of the city council are going to sit on the board of the Discovery Medical Center? What how does that change things up? Or the destination,
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I think it remains to be seen. It really depends on who the new mayor is and what perspective they're coming at this from. If it's someone like Kim Norton, for instance, she represented the area for 10 years in the state legislature. She helped usher the DMC legislation through. She knows this really, really well. But she has made sustainability, walkability, bikeability something that's a big part of her platform. So if she wins, you would see her on the Destination Medical Center board talking a lot about these issues. With the city council member, it might not necessarily be one of the new city council, new people who's elected to the city council. It could be someone who's been sitting on the city council for a while. So again, it just sort of remains to be seen.
You know, as you're describing this, I'm wondering if the new mayor and whoever the city council member is that ends up on that board, are they there and would voters want them to act as kind of a, I don't know, a restraint or a check on Mayo's power and Mayo's ambitions with this? Is that how it's seen?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I think that when I'm talking to these candidates and when I'm talking to people generally in Rochester, something that comes up over and over and over again is all of this development really for me, meaning the person who lives and works in Rochester and has been here their whole life? Or is it just for the Mayo Clinic so they can make more money, basically? And I think that whoever is elected is really going to have to walk a fine line because DMC is happening. Mayo is critical to this community in terms of the jobs it provides. It's critical to the state. And no one is stopping DMC. I don't think anyone's putting the brakes on that. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that they will have to also be very conscientious of the tone of the city and where the people who are living here are on all of this development, and also be a very strong advocate for the people who live and work in Rochester as those decisions are being made.
You know, the way you phrased that question that voters and citizens of Rochester may be asking, is this really about Mayo's ambitions and growth, or is there something here for me? Do you think Mayo's done a very good job answering that?
You know, I think it just sort of depends on who you're listening to and who you're talking to. I know that they are trying to do a better job of that. We have a separate nonprofit that was set up to effectively implement DMC, and the leader of that nonprofit is someone who worked at Mayo for a long time and is really close to all of these issues. Mm-hmm. I think what I have seen in the last couple of years is a much bigger effort for there to be better communication around what this means for the community and why it will be good for Rochester and Southeast Minnesota at large. That being said, there remains a lot of skepticism about that.
You know, I think you're just in a really interesting position there, Kat, because as you say, you moved there in 2009. This is pre, you know, the biggest changes, right, beginning to happen with DMC.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing the transformation that this community is inevitably going to undergo. And how people are trying to absorb that change. I mean, what's happening now is going to change that city forever, for decades to come, right? And it's happening kind of before your eyes. What's one of your key takeaways about the transformation that you're in the midst of reporting on?
I think one of the key takeaways that I have is that the Rochester that I moved into back in 2009 is going to look different across the board. Literally, we have more restaurants than we did a decade ago.
Yeah.
They're more sophisticated than they were a decade ago. There's more places to shop. There are more buildings. But at the same time, I feel like the city is becoming a little more self-reflective in a way that I did not see 10 years ago. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but like I said earlier, the communities are just more engaged in what all this means for them. I think the city's also becoming more diverse. That's going to happen sort of inevitably. But I think that the DMC goals are actually to make the city younger, to attract and retain younger people to the community. Mm-hmm. And by extension, be more diverse in terms of, you know, where these people are coming from. I think another interesting takeaway is that this could really change the political landscape of Rochester in the long term.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, back, you know, in the 2016 election, Olmsted County, I think, barely elected Hillary Clinton. I think if some of the DMC goals are met around making the city more walkable, more bikeable, mm-hmm. decisions that are being made today, that will influence the type of people that could move to Rochester. You might actually see it become more liberal down the road.
And you might draw more people who think, I don't know, millennial people who have years ahead of work who think, no, it has to be the Twin Cities, you know, if I want to pursue the kind of work I want to do. And Rochester becomes much more of an option potentially for that.
Right. And because of potentially cost of living, schools, you know, the smaller size. But right now, Rochester's competing with Madison, Wisconsin. Huh. It's competing with the Twin Cities. It's competing with Chicago. And that's a really steep hill for the city to climb.
Kat, it's always interesting to have a chat with you. Thanks for the time.
No problem, Carrie.
Kat Richard is our NPR News reporter in Rochester, giving us a view on the politics, the races for the city council and mayor, but also some of the cultural changes that are driving politics and perceptions for the people that live in Rochester of how their community is changing around them.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.